April 3rd, 2024, we're in Masechet Bava Kama, Daf Kaf Gimel Amud Aleph. If you count from top of the Amud, just two lines down, the third word on the line, says the Gemara, Amar Rava. And the Gemara has just finished what we believed was the whole sugya of Isho Mishum Mamono, Isho Mishum Haitzav, Mahlok between Resh Lakish and Abi Yochanan, about how to explain and characterize the obligation of Esh, of fire damages. And Rava, now quoting from Abaye, says, well, when all the dust settles, and we seemed to have chosen the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan as the predominant opinion, that Isho Mishum Hitzav, we envision it as a direct extension of you, not of your property, which is somewhat disconnected. It had ramifications, as we discussed earlier, with regards to if it's someone else's property and so forth. Says the Gemara now, Amar Rava Kashya Le Abaye. Abaye reports Rava had the following question. Lemanda Amar Isho Mishum Hitzav, Tamun be'esh de patar rahmana hechi mishkahatla. Again, as I mentioned yesterday, Rashi has two interpretations. On the first interpretation, Tosafot seems to explain the approach of Rashi, although others understand it differently. We're going to go with that approach for now. We mentioned the other one yesterday. It goes like this. The Gemara, or Abaye, is questioning Rabbi Yochanan. And if you just think about what we've already learned in Masechet Bava Kama, is we've learned many laws with regards to property damaging. There's halachot of regel that are not similar to the halachot of shin. There's halachot of keren, which are not similar to the two of those, and so forth. There's all sorts of different laws. We can write, and we have, full chapters in books about the different laws with regards to property damage. Under some circumstances one way, under other circumstances another way. We can logically explain, we can point to Pisukim in the Torah and so forth. There are distinctions when it comes to your property which damages. That's on the one hand. On the other hand, Rashi, Tosafot in turn, aside from the Gemara later on, Daf Kavav, when it comes to a human being, no such distinctions. You damage, you pay. But I was sleeping. You damage, you pay. But I didn't mean to. You damage, you pay. But I was on my property. You damage, you pay. Under all circumstances, when it's what's called Adam HaMazik, Adam Wa'ad Le'olam. We'll learn about this as Rashi cites from a Pasuk. It's Nidrash, it's determined to teach us that. Okay, if that's the case, now we take a step back and we look at this from afar. It means that when I look at animals, I can see different categories of obligations here and not over there. I look at human beings, I don't make such distinctions. Well, that being the case, challenged Abaye. If we're to say that fire is like property, Resh Lakish, Isho Mishum Mamono, I can easily distinguish in all sorts of ways. The Torah tells me, for example, that fire is only liable when it's an exposed item which gets damaged. If the item was hidden, you're not obligated. We'll deal with this. We've mentioned it already. Now, if it's property, okay, that's a new halakha. Shin is only when it's exposed. Ish is only when it's exposed. Shin and regel, only when it's on the other person's property. I can have all sorts of distinctions. I can understand that. But according to Rabbi Yochanan, who you just told me is our man, we're following Rabbi Yochanan and saying, Yisho Mishum Haitzav, I don't understand. It just doesn't match. It doesn't make sense. We've never heard of such halachot when it comes to human beings. Human beings are only obligated when they damage something which is out in the open. What if they damage something that's hidden? We don't make such distinctions. What's more, generally speaking, we make no such distinctions with regards to human beings. If the primary cause and function of ish, a fire, is mishum hitzav, it's you who's doing it, how come the Torah, as we understand it, exempts a person for the fire which damaged when it's a hidden item which got damaged? That's the question of the Gemara. I can understand, I can logically suggest there are distinctions. I'm not sure exactly the logic. Maybe Rashi's trying with the logic, but at the very least I can, as the way Tosafot says it, make distinctions when it comes to property. It comes to human beings. No such distinctions. How come the Torah tells me that if you burn something, but it wasn't exposed, it wasn't out in the open, it wasn't revealed, you're exempt? Doesn't make any sense. It's not the way it works with regards to human beings. That's this question. What's only under Rabbi Yochanan? That's what Resh Lakish is great. Isho Mishum Mamono, it's another halacha. Again, what the Sivara Lehalek, we could discuss. It might just be a Gezerat HaKatuv. It might just be the Torah told me that. But it matches, says Tosafot. It matches Behemah. hidden, the example that the Chachamim will give, or we gave already, is you have kids, you left your, I don't know, your gardening tools, and you left them under the bush. And as a result, it's not easily seen. That's the best, the easiest example for now. For now, not in a closet. For now, it's gonna get. We're gonna have to. Because that means that the contents in the home. It's not so right. Correct. But let's leave it like that for now, because we don't need to get into the specifics. We need to know that in that situation, explicitly, the Gemara, the rabbis understand you are exempt. It doesn't make any sense. Says the Gemara, Amar Rava Kashya Lele Abaye Abaye question. Lemanda Amar, according to he who said, meaning Rabbi Yohanan, Isho Mishum Hitzav. If that's the case, tamun be'esh de patar rahmana. Tamun, again, means something that's hidden. If something's hidden, which the Torah, rahmana, tells us, you're patur, you're not liable to pay when you burn it and ruin it. How do you find such a reality? Says the Gemara, Veni Hale, Rava, reporting what Abaye did. He says, Abaye questioned this, and here's how he answered. Kigon, for example, Shenafela deleka leoto haser, venafela gader, shelo mehamat deleka, vehalecha vihidlika vihizika behaser haheret. First, let's establish the situation, then read the Gemara's description about it. And says Abaye, here's the case where, maybe, according to Rabbi Yohanan, where I imagine the fire as if it's an extension of me, you would be exempt, and I have a logic why you'd be exempt. Well, it goes like this. I light the fire, and it's traveling, let's say, from my property onto your property. But there's a gate in between our two properties. And as a result, this fire, when I lit the fire, when I lit it, will not go onto your property. I want to burn out my field. I don't know. I want the crops all ruined. They are all ruined. I want them burnt. I assume very clearly and properly so, this fire will be contained. Why? It's a beautiful new gate over there separating our two gardens. As the fire is going, nothing to do with the fire ravaging, nothing to do with the effect of me, unbeknownst to us, there's a tornado, something crazy happened. Yes, on my property. No? Well, doesn't make a difference. Why would it make a difference? I set a fire on my land, you're going to make me liable for it? Better. That'll make it stronger, even though I purposefully did it. There's a gate in between, unbeknownst to me, not in my control, not because of the fire which I set or came from my property. The wall falls down, the fire then spreads to your land. Pause for a second. Let's think about that situation. Let's do it like this. I take in my arrow and my bow, and I shoot the arrow, and I'm shooting at the wall in between our 2 yards. And the wall in between, I put bullseyes on it and everything, and I'm doing it. I didn't shoot over, and it's not because of the effect. I've never shot at this wall. Don't tell me it's because I shot at it in the past. It's a brand new, beautiful wall, and as I'm shooting at it, earthquake, the wall falls down, and the arrow goes onto your yard and kills your pet cow. Am I liable in such a situation? I made that up. I'm saying something out of control. What do you want? The gate fell down. It only changes it in the respect that it was out of my control and it had nothing to do with my actions that the wall fell down. So I'm trying to make up something for you, because anything else I say, Jeffrey's going to say it's because you did it. It's not because I did it. It just happened. Well, that being the case, in a theoretical situation, right, the circumstance is such that when I shot the arrow, let's do it arrow for a moment. It's what we call in the Gemara, we'll call it in a moment, kalulo hitzav. My arrow is dead. It's a done arrow. Why is it a done arrow? It's going to hit the wall. It's not because of my arrow that it went onto your property. It's something, and as a result, I'd be exempt. So too, says Abaye, for Rabbi Yohanan, when I lit the fire, and there was that wall blocking it, it was kalulo hitzav. The fire was extinguished already. It's a non-existent fire. It's a fire on my property. The fact that it spread onto your property, that's where I'll find the case in the Torah where I'll be exempt for fire, quote, when it's hidden. It's a strange havat. Why?
Because the other one, it's not
going to
reach there. It's not going to
the fire's not going to reach either.
Yeah,
no, the fire is going to block it. No, the wall is going to block it.
Hey, that's
The wall is an impenetrable wall. My hay, not his. The arrow's gonna hit the dog, the cow. It's just that there's a wall blocking it. The wall fell down.
He's talking about the fire. The arrow stops. Once you shoot it, it stops and it's a wall.
Right.
You have to put out, even if it's contained.
But it stops with respect to not going onto the other person's problem. It's not gonna go onto the other person's problem. The wall is strong enough. There's a different difficulty. It's strange that the Gemara, I mean, it's all set up for the next line, but it seems strange in the initial moment that the Gemara brought this up, because it's a nice, in my opinion, it's a nice analogy. It's a good analysis. I understand that the halakha should be according to Rabbi Yochanan, your patur over there. What did that have to do with the way we started the class today, the way we ended it yesterday? We questioned Abaye, did Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan, I don't understand. According to you, that fire is like an arrow. Why should you be exempt, what was the question, when the item is covered and not exposed, why should you be exempt? Oh, I found the case for you. I found the case where fire is going to be exempt. What does that have to do with anything? So even if his item, his cow, is out in his yard, his hay is left out in his yard, I'll still be exempt. It has nothing to do with the hay, the cow, the utensil being covered. You understand? In other words, the whole challenge to Rabbi Yochanan was, Rabbi Yochanan, how did you find a case, how do you explain a case in the Torah where a concealed, a covered, a not seen item gets burnt that I don't have to pay on patur? Oh, it doesn't make any sense. If you're telling me it's Adam Hamazik, you should be Hayav. The answer, well, it's what's called Kalulo Hitzav. The fire is dead before the fire goes. It didn't answer the question. If that's the case, then you should be exempt whether the item which it burnt was concealed or revealed. It's nothing to do with concealed. Once the earthquake happened, I'm exempt. The fact that there was the wall there. So the Gemara had, it's a setup. Don't think we didn't know Abaye was not on his game. That's going to be the question. The question is, so what are you doing? So again, says the Gemara again, Veni Hale, four lines from the top, Rava reporting what Abaye did, the question he asked and the answer he gave, Kigon, for example, Shenafela deleka le'oto haseh. This fire falls in my own field. I hear you. I don't know why it says it like that, Alan. Shenafela. There's no reason for it to be Shenafela. Anyway, then and then the gader, which is the gate, falls down. Deleka means fire, not because of the fire. Explains Rashi, if it's because of the fire, well, that was my arrow. I shot the arrow at the wall. My arrow had strong enough power. It knocks down the wall and then it damages. Okay, that's on me. Good. Vehalecha, then the fire goes, vihidlika vihizika behaser acheret. It then burns my friend's, my next door neighbor's yard or items in the yard. Dehatam, hatam means there in that situation. Kalule hitzav, that's the expression. Kalule hitzav. His arrows are finished. They're dead. They are?
Ceased.
Cut off. Beautiful. Blunted. You know, all those words. Says, that's the answer. Says the Gemara, Ihache. If that's so, Abaye, very nice. I just have a difficulty. Le'inyan galui name kalu lehitzav. If your whole situation that you conjured up, you built for us, is such that the arrow is cut off, ceased, etc., well, who cares if the item is exposed or concealed? It'll make a difference. Ultimately speaking, I shot a dead arrow. I shot a dead arrow that it killed someone or something. I shot a dead arrow. You can't make me liable. It was out of my control. Now, you shouldn't have been shooting. Why shouldn't I have been shooting? There was a wall there. The wall fell down. That's not on me. Says the Gemara, Ela, rather, perhaps we need to therefore suggest the following. This was the surprise, Abe. Ela lemandi itle mishum hitzav, itle name mishum mamono. Says the Gemara that it must be that leman limi, to he who, the itle sheyeshlo, who is of the opinion, hitzav, meaning, isho mishum hitzav, meaning, Rabbi Yochanan, itle name, yeshlo gamken, he also maintains, mishum mamono. In other words, Rabbi Yochanan's opinion is not just different than Resh Lakish. It's a humrah, it's a stringency on Resh Lakish. Resh Lakish, I agree with you. Isho, fire, can and should be seen as a, an extension of my property, a property. But B, you should know, Resh Lakish, it's furthermore an extension of me. It means then, interestingly, you're going to have something that emerges, well, a few interesting things. Ukigon, and therefore, shahayalo legodra velo gedera. And the case, therefore, is as follows. Scale it back to the case we just began as.
Sleeping or something now, all of a sudden. It comes down on top of that.
Correct. So now what we're suggesting is the following. The Gemara is, I mean, Alan, sharpening the mind, listen to this one. So the Gemara says, okay, you had the case until now, you conjured it up in your mind, and you're, okay, good. So now, onward. The fire is ravaging. The wall falls down. If I shot my arrow, I have no obligation now to go run ahead and construct a new wall. No such responsibility. Kalulo chitzav. If I shot the arrow, what's the halakha with regards to shooting the arrow? It's a dead arrow. What if, for example, my animal is in a room and the animal barges through the door? Do I now say, well, listen, it barged through the door. I put it behind the door. Certainly not. When it comes to property, the Gemara will explicitly tell us, if your property somehow made its way out, we now say to you, you're responsible to now box it back in. Well, that being the case, says the Gemara, ukigon, shahayalo legodra velo gadera. For example, the case is the fire begins in my field. The wall falls down. I said, doesn't matter. When I started the fire, the wall was there. No, 1 second. The fire is your cow. The fire is your bull. It's on its way. Go build that wall. Dehatam shorohu velo tafach be'apeh. In such a circumstance, we look at the fire, even according to the Bi'ohanan, and we say, you want to know what that fire is? That fire is not you. Why is it not you? Because my arrow, which I shot, was dead from the beginning. But it's still something. According to the Bi'ohanan, anytime I see fire, I say, fire is both you and your property. Scary thought. Fire is you and your property. Yes? I shoot my arrow at a wall when the wall is there, and then the wall falls down. I'm free. Good. So I lit my fire and the wall fell down. I'm free. That's from my end. But it's still my bull running forward because fire is not only me, it's my animal. If that's the case, now the wall which fell down is my responsibility to fix it. If that fire now goes onto the person's field and damages something on that field, what's my liability? My liability is as an animal which is burning. In that circumstance, if it burns something that's exposed, I'm obligated. If it burns something that's concealed, that's hidden, I'm exempt. Why am I exempt? Because my fire in that situation is not my arrow. The fire is only my property. In other words, the Abaye found a situation where, even according to the Bi'ohanan, number one, it comes with a premise, fire is mishum hitzav u'mishum mamono. That's the surprise. Number two, I found a situation where I cut out and I make you immediately exempt from mishum hitzav. There was a wall. I'm shooting dead bullets. However, if it's your property, no such thing as dead bullets. Your property always has a life. You're always responsible. The words in the Gemara. Because when it comes to property, give me 1 second. When it comes to property, gezerat takatub, the halakha is that fire only liable when it's revealed, not when it's concealed. Says the Gemara, according to the Bi'ohanan, 99% of the time, that halakha will not be relevant. Why? He'll say, Yishom Mishum Chitzav. When it comes to behema, when it comes to my animal being Mishum Mamono, then it'll be relevant. Now, what's the Sivara in it being relevant? I'll address that very briefly, although it's difficult. It's one of two things. Either Pasuk in the Torah, Heke, we call it Gezerat HaKatub. The Sivara is that the way, if I'm not mistaken, they some suggest this is what Rashi means. The Sivara is that you might argue that if it's your animal doing it, quote unquote, my fire, you call that onus. The fact that it was hidden, my animal didn't know it was there, I didn't need to know it was there. Human beings are hayav even be onus. Maybe my animal, this is considered onus, that's why the fact that it's hidden and you couldn't and shouldn't have known it was there, so that's what makes you not liable. That's the sivara. It's a difficult sivara for other reasons, but lema'aseh, that's what emerges from our Gemara. So the Gemara found it means very little difference in the scheme of things between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, because even Rabbi Yochanan accepts that Isho Mishum Mamono. He just on top of that says, it's also me. My fire is both me and my property. It has a dual personality. It says the Gemara, well, if that's the case, V'chi me'ahar, demandi itle mishum chitzav, itle name mishum mamono. Now that we've established, man, he who, the itle who has, in other words, was of the opinion, Rabbi Yochanan mishum chitzav, that your fire is an extension of you, also maintains that fire is your property, may benayu, question mark. Ma benehem. What's the difference between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish? What's the difference? What's the difference? Well, yeah, that's right. What's the difference? Now, Tosafot and Rashi already point out. What's that? Hang tight. You have the answer in the Gemara. But before that, Rashi and Tosafot already point out that we have a difference. We have a major difference. What if it's not your property? According to Reish Lakish, remember the case of the camel, remember the case of the dog. According to Reish Lakish, if it's not your property, you're not really liable when it's someone else's fire which is burning. You're going to be liable for the placement of right where it's put, but nothing more than that. That's a major difference. Rashi and Tosafot already pointed out that's a major difference. We mean when it is your property, when the fire is your property, which is going to be the standard case of Ish. What's the practical difference then between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish? You told me Rabbi Yochanan's more stringent. He maintains Mishum Mamono, but also Mishum Chitzav. What's the stringency? In the scheme of things, if I light something on fire, I'm the Mazik, so it's only going to make it more. How so? Answers the Gemara, Ika benayu yesh benehem lehayevo ba'arba'a devarim. The answer, says the Gemara, is to make the person who lit the fire obligated in, quote, four things. We will, in the eighth Perek, learn about Adam HaMazik. It's a surprising thing. Masechet Bava Kama, the first seven, not even seven chapters, the first several Perakim deal with Mamon, Shehizik, your property which damaged. The seventh Perek gets into Gineva and Gezelab issues already. And then the eighth Perek deals with Adam HaMazik, the situations you and I probably, maybe I'm wrong, would imagine are most relevant when a person's fighting and a person hurts another person. Anyway, over there, what becomes apparent immediately is that in addition to just what's called Nezik, which we've been reading about throughout our Masechet and learning about, which is damages, there's four other obligations. They are, we've talked about them already. Shevet is the amount of business and work which is missed as a result of hurting that other person. A person who hurts a person, you have to pay for shevet. Ripui, you have to pay for the medical bills. Boshet, how much embarrassment did it cause him? And again, the rabbis have a way of evaluating all of this. And lastly, tsa'ar, how much pain, just physical pain, did he get through what you gave to him? That's what we call, generally speaking, arba'a devarim. So first we're going to just translate those words in the Gemara as such, and then we'll read Rashi and understand he sees it a little differently. But it means then, according to Rabbi Yochanan, let's just do this for argument's sake, if my animal goes, my literal animal goes, and gores a person, damages a person, yes? How much am I obligated to pay? Nezik, nothing more and nothing less. What do I pay? How much damage did it cause you? And we determine accordingly. What was your value to be sold as a slave beforehand? What's his value now? No, one second. What about my medical bills? Sorry, my animal damaged you, not me. My machinery damaged you, not me. I don't pay those arba'a devarim. If I come and I knock you out, I have to pay all those extra things. If my fire damages a person, what's the halakha? According to Rabbi Yochanan, you have to pay the whole thing because my fire is just like I did it. Do we follow? So that's the Gemara's answer according to this approach, that Rabbi Yochanan is more stringent. He's going to end up, your bill is going to be much more exhaustive because we're considering fire to be not only property, but human being as well. Now, Rabbeinu Hananel translates the words in the Gemara the way I just did. It goes without saying that nezik, damage.
Is it possible that sometimes you would be responsible to all four and sometimes you wouldn't, depending on if it was?
Certainly, but the point is that according to Reish Lakish, you're never paying any of the additional. According to Rabbi Yochanan, says Nathan, it'll depend on the circumstance. Yes. Rabbeinu Hananel translates the words of Arba'a Devarim as, in addition to nezek, damage, those four things I mentioned. Remember them? Shevet, Ripui, Tzar, and Boshet. Right? Those are the four. Rashi says a little bit different. Rashi says you're not going to be liable in this situation to embarrassment. Boshet. Boshet, by definition, he quotes a Gemara later on, needs intention. The Gemara says, if you fall off your roof, beruach mesuya, you were negligent, but you fall off your roof, you fall onto the guy below, and you hurt him, you're obligated in everything except for embarrassment, because your intention is part and parcel in the obligation of boshet. So for Rashi, it's a technical point, but it's a significant one. When we mention four things in the Gemara, we mean nezek, what's your value? How do we evaluate you? What would you have been sold as a slave before this happened and now? What's your medical bill? Ripui. Shevet, how much work are you missing? Tza'ar, how much pain? No boshet, according to Rashi. Rabbeinu Hananel says it's one plus four, you're paying the whole thing. Okay, either way, and it's an important thing how Rabbeinu Hananel would answer that Gemara later on. We'll get there when we talk about it. But that's the mahlok, and that's the final line here in our Gemara. So to summarize, we had a sugya we spent several days on. Mahlok, Rabbi Yochanan, Resh Lakish, Isho. What's the obligation? Mishum mamono, it's my property which damaged, or mishum hitzav, it's an extension of me. Ultimately speaking, the revelation, no pun intended, today is Rabbi Yochanan is a double individual. He's mahmir upon humrah. What's his opinion? Isho mishum mamono umishum hitzav. Ultimately speaking, that leads me to Rabbi Yochanan says almost all situations you're going to be liable to. And above and beyond, when it comes to fire, we're going to treat it as this unique situation as if you're a human being as well. You're going to have to pay more than just nezik. That's what we got up to in the Gemara.
Only because you set the fire, or was an accidental fire, is it going to change?
In other words, what? It's be honest, you didn't set the...
And it's
a wind which was not expected, etc. No, then you're exempt. In other words, the same way with your animal. If my animal was chained up and it somehow broke out in a way, so forth. It's only human beings where we say, we're saying Ruach She'ena Metsuya, he said. Ruach Metsuya is Peshi'ah, and it was your responsibility. He's saying a candle which was contained. The difference between Ruach Metsuya and Ruach She'ena Metsuya is it an expectant wind, a normal wind? If it's a normal wind, you're going to be liable. That was negligence. If it's not, yeah, so fire is like property in that respect. But again, Adam HaMazik, when a human being has these sorts of damages, we don't distinguish. All right. What's that? According to Rabbi Yochanan, where we don't distinguish between ones and rason by human beings, so does there make a difference then with regards to candles? So this has to do with this Tosafot at the bottom of Daf Kaf Bet Amud Bet. There's Tosafot deals with Ish according to Rabbi Yochanan. To what extent? Where was that? That's not that Tosafot.
What's the two sides?
In other words, if we're saying that it's literally like a human being, so then according to leave both out for a second. If you say it's a human, well, certainly if it's both, but if it's a human being, then even if it's a ruach she'ena metsuya, ostensibly, a person should be obligated to pay. Right. Okay, I have to review this Tosafot. I don't want to say it improperly right now. I'll try to return to you on that, Judah and Jeffrey, on tag team on this one. Yeah, that needs to be addressed properly. That's according to the Rabbi Yochanan. The answer is okay. Well, we'll deal with it properly. That it's going to be a lot more complicated according to the Rabbi Yochanan, because according to the Rabbi Yochanan, where we're imagining Isho Mishum Hitzav as if it's an extension to you, it means then that I should probably be responding. The only question is, so then why didn't the Gemara... All right, well, we'll have to deal with that. Why didn't the Gemara say that's the difference between Rabbi Yochanan and Resh Lakish over here as well? Why did it only say Arba'a Devarim? Why didn't it say Ruach Metsuya? Okay, I have to go back to that.
We may describe initially, was the person set fire?
we're not going to make a distinction, because in the scheme of things, the fire is me, whether I said it or not, provided that I was negligent. All right, we have to, inshallah. Lineda will do that back. Okay, back to Alan's favorite case. It said the Mishnah, al ha-harara mishalem v'chule. If the caliph, if the dog went, grabbed the biscuit has attached to it a gahelet, a coal, it goes and eats the biscuit, the harara, and burns the field, initially one area, and then of course it spreads. The obligations of the owner are twofold. Number one, for the biscuit, 100%, we call that shen b'rshut ha-nizak. Number two, with regards to the fire which lit up the field, that's half. Why is it half? It's called hatzi nezek, either sirorot. Hang tight. The field is hatzi nezek sirorot, or it's mishune, it's strange, and as a result, you're paying half. Yes, the place where it put it down is going to be 100% liability. We're going to call that regel. Says the Gemara, very simply, in the initial stages over here, man hayav, ? Let's just ask the question very briefly and then to the point. Who's obligated to pay in this circumstance? Again, my dog, it sounds like a trick question. It sounds like, what are you talking about? Dog owner should be obligated. My dog goes, picks up the biscuit and so forth, goes and burns the field. Man hayav, answers the Gemara, baal kelev. Okay, so that's it. Well, the owner of the dog is obligated, says the Gemara, but I here's what I mean. The lehayev name baal gahelet. Why are we saying that only the dog owner is liable? How'd the dog get the coal? The dog got the biscuit and the coal, we're assuming, because the owner of the biscuit and coal was negligent in safeguarding it properly. As a result, we should split the charges. My dog, I'm not denying that, but you, in leaving that out, should have to pay half. We should split the bill. But then it was mine. Whose biscuit and coal is it? It's not the owner of the dog. The dog, after all, I'm paying, you told me, for the biscuit. Clearly wasn't mine. So whoever left that biscuit, whoever it is, even if it's the owner of the field, wherever he left it, he should be paying half of this bill. It's partially his fault. It's true, I didn't safeguard my dog, but you didn't safeguard your biscuit. Says the Gemara, man hayav, ? Ba'al kelev. Questions the Gemara that, ve'lehayev name ba'al gahelet, ? Why don't we obligate as well the owner of the coal? Answers the Gemara, b'sheshimer gahalto. The case must be that he safeguarded his coal. He safeguarded his coal. How did my dog get it? I b'sheshimer gahalto, my ba'e kelev hatam. Hatam means there. If you say, the claim of the Gemara is, no, he protected his coal. You protected your coal, then how did my dog get to it? You can't say you protected. What's that? The answer is, it's not in the barbecue outside where you're not watching it. It was inside your house. It was inside your house. Let me ask you a question. How did my dog get into your house? Whatever the answer to that question is, well, then that means you were negligent. It can't just get in there. Hey, answers the Gemara, b'shehatar. The case must be that it dug under. The dog tunneled in. Mahteret, we know from Masechet Sanhedrin. It tunneled in to wherever this biscuit and coal are held. Let's say it's behind four walls, it's in a home. It dug underneath in order to get in there. Well, that has major ramifications for us, which means to say, then, we're suggesting, the owner of the home is not liable, the owner of the home and the gahelet, he safeguarded it. You, your dog, went out of control. Ooh, one second. My dog tunneled under. How much am I paying?
You should be paying half.
I should be paying half because?
I'm paying full because it's
abnormal. It's abnormal. It's mishune. It's mishune. It should be kidding. Rosh will say, maybe it's honest. Maybe I should be paying nothing because maybe it's not Kaden. Kaden is the way it got in. Once it got the thing, it should pay full. Maybe that's how Rosh asks on Rashi. But ultimately speaking, it's not normal when it tunnels under. Says the Gemara, Amarav Mare Bere de Rav Kahana Zoto Meret Stam Delatot Haturoten etzel kelev. That line is what defines it for us. Zotomeret, if you're telling me that the owner of the dog is liable for 100% payment, zotomeret, you want to know what that tells me? That stam delatot, normal doors, normal passageways, are to be assumed that dogs will dig under them. That's not considered mishune, that's not considered onus.
So,
Okay. 1 second. I'm just going to read the question in Tosafot for you, and we'll end the class today with this. But again, so it means that what happened? The coal was behind the door. The door was closed. The dog tunneled under. Wait a second. Why is the owner of the dog liable? Because the assumption when you own a door is that dogs will get under it. Tosafot. We're just reading the first line over here in Tosafot. Kesheshimer gahalto. Says Tosafot, v'im tomar, uma shemira hi zo. What type of protection is that? What do you mean? I close the door. Kevan sheyachol hakelev dikaneshem behatira. If the dog could get in there by tunneling in, by digging in, stam delatot, haturot in etzel kelev. I don't understand. It's a circular answer. You told me the reason that the owner of the gahelet is exempt is because he had a door. But if that's the case, then I shouldn't be liable 100% as the owner of the dog. No, because it's normal for him to tunnel. If it's normal for him to tunnel in, it means he didn't protect it properly. All right, we'll come back to this tomorrow. Baruch Adonai le'olam. Amen.